Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're going to tag team preach today and bring you the word. We're going to be talking about marriage today. And the reason why Tina and I wanted to tag team today is actually this Friday will be our 10th anniversary. Do you know what today is? It's the anniversary.
Early in the morning, I make breakfast.
Oh, victory weekend. And so, anyway, before we get out of the spirit, let's go to the scriptures. Ephesians 5. I'll actually get Tina to read it because your voice is much more
soothing. Wives, submit to your own husbands. That's why you wanted me to read.
No. Ephesians 5:22. You want me to, you read.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Lord, we pray the anointing of your word would flow in this place. We thank you, God, that your word is life to us. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we pray that in the delivery of your word today, Lord, you would speak with clarity, enable Tina and I to deliver your word to your saints here, to your sons and daughters, that we may walk circumspect in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone shouted amen. All right. Okay. The title of our message today is, you can have a seat for now. I'll kick us off and then I'll lay the table out and you can dine. Title of the message today is marriage. Wedding ring or suffering? Wedding ring or suffering? See, here's the thing. Like, have you noticed with the romantic comedies when they crescendo and they always end with the wedding? No romantic comedies in their right minds start with the wedding because they know that everything that follows, it's not ideal to have Julia Roberts in full makeup trying to go through changing diapers. And all the trials that we have to walk through as a couple, because it's not the sort of stuff that would sell millions of dollars or at the box office. But I'm here to tell you today that marriage is a beautiful thing. Marriage is God's idea. But here's what I wanted to address right at the start as well. Do not idolize marriage. What do I mean by that? Well, for single people, not us single people, but for you single people, I should say, there is a tendency for people in today's society to idolize not just marriage, but thinking that a significant other will serve them in a way that Christ can only serve you. So, for instance, you expect things from your significant other or your significant other to come that you can only receive from Christ. And that is idolatry. To idolize, to utilize marriage as a point of salvation, it's not that way. We were talking about the with the men as well at Victory Weekend, when you get married, doesn't mean that, you know, it's a lot easier for us as men. It actually is the start of a newer process. I've heard it once said that when you get married, you realize just how selfish you are, and just when you think you've got it figured out, then you have kids, and so it's a complete process of sanctification actually to get married. And the way that Christ would have you get married, if God should grace you down that path, it's actually a great part of the process of sanctification where you become a lot more like Christ. What does that process look like? Well, right from the start, I wanted to kind of define marriage in God's context And I wanted to revert back to a message that I preached a couple of weeks ago. You can check it out on the podcast. But basically, I was talking about how God-shaped relationships, when they reflect love, it's always synonymous with giving. It's always giving. It's not taking. So when we talk about marriage, it's not that the whole purpose of marriage is not what you can get from your significant other, but finding the right person that you can serve for the rest of your life. You need to be going in the same direction. You need to be pouring yourself in servitude towards the significant other. And in the same manner, they pour themselves out towards you to the glory of God. Because marriage is the closest thing as humans that we can see in terms of a relationship, and seeing the relationship that the Trinity have in the three persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where you can't see where one begins and the other ends, where you see the servitude and this honor constantly happening all throughout eternity. For us as Christians, as we follow Christ, this is what we endeavor to do, is that I find ways, being married to Tina now for almost 10 years, is finding ways to serve her, and she does a fantastic job of serving me. But it's knowing the context of how God has placed me as her husband to serve her and her as my wife to serve me. Let's go back to the scripture again, and then I'm going to get Tina to expand on this a little bit, because it would be, I'll touch on a little bit what it's not. Okay, this is the verse that is may offend a lot of the sisters in here, but it's in the Bible. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, do not elbow your wives at this time. Do not. You hear that? You hear that? That's in the Bible. You better get down and serve me, girl. No, that we're not promoting chauvinism here, because there's a context for this servitude. And let me just speak to this with regards to the single sisters who are believing that one day they will be married to the glory of God. First of all, your marriage should glorify God. Because we see so many marriages within Christianity, once they get married, because of the idolatry of marriage, they become closed off to opportunities to actually serve in the body of Christ for the extension of God's kingdom. And they actually utilize the marriage to serve one another, absent from the purposes of Christ. Because there's an expectation that finally I'm married, now I can focus on my marriage and not have to worry about what God wants to do in and through the marriage. Don't you understand? You know, like the Old Testament says, where one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. So, ladies, find the right man that is worthy of your submission. You need to pray and seek God with regards to allowing God to bring the right man that at the right time that is worthy of your submission, as he submits himself to the Lord. Don't waste your time with somebody that does not submit themselves to the same God that you submit yourself to, because they're not worthy of your submission. Oh, well, you know, I believe that I'll alter him. I'll change him. I'll alter him. So we walk down the aisle to the altar, sing a hymn, and then before you know it, you're yoked. And now the Bible commands us to submit to him, but he's not in the Lord, and he's wanting to do his own thing. And you're yoked to him. You're bound to him. So you must find the right man that is worthy of your submission. And not just, see, it's not just like, it's not just waiting for her, like that cute guy to get saved. Ooh, I hope Brad Pitt one day, well, first of all, he's married. But I hope that guy gets saved. Ooh, check out the NRL player that's at church today. Ooh, I hope he gets saved, because, you know, I'm over here waiting for you. Waiting here for you with my hands, done my nails. You know, like you're and then when you're at the, when he's at the altar call, you're like, you are praying to God. You idolatrous woman, don't do that. Let me just touch on this and then I'll hand it to Tina. Be careful as we disciple also not to have relationships and marriage be all you talk about. Focus on the vision and the kingdom, the relationships will come. Look, there's a reason why I'm only going to touch on this marriage topic and this relationship series, and then we don't want to touch it too much, because the danger is for us as people is we idolize marriage, as if it will fulfill us in the way that only Christ will. Tina and I are two imperfect people. We are one, but we walk in the oneness with Christ. as the center of our marriage. And it's with this mission and purpose that we hear God and we move together. Even in the journey that God has had us coming to this point here in Brisbane, it's always been understanding that we have the same, I had the same sort of mission in heart that she did, and that resonated with me. And that's why it was a lot easier to hear from God that Tina was to be my wife and I was to be her husband. Why? Because the mission resonates, and I was focused on what the King and his kingdom, and not necessarily focused on wanting to get married. God will hook you up if you just hook yourself up with just focusing on his mission. Amen. Tina, come on up here, girl.
Okay. Well, I just want to honor my husband really for even just allowing me to do the work with him. No. He's really, he's known me for, I mean, he's the one person who knows me inside out, and he's just been very accepting of me. I just wanted to really just honor you for that. 10 years, baby, 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was just recalling, I mean, just lastly, just for the single women, I think you've heard this story time and time again, but I just really want to share with you guys. I got married at my late 30s. I was waiting for him. He took so long to come. But I think I praise God for his grace and just giving me the definition of really who I should, you know, what marriage is and who I should marry. And before I even knew who I should marry, the Lord revealed to me who I should worship. And I thank God when Nelly came into my life, I knew beyond a shadow of the doubt that I love my husband so much, but compared to God, he's a poor second, a very poor second. And that's the reason why I really believe that God is giving us the grace to carry through this marriage, is because we, firstly, it was really God at the throne of my life. And it really has a lot of grace to be able to reach that place. And the hard questions, I mean, for me were when God would ask me if, let's say, for instance, if I took Nelly away from you, would you still worship me? And then when I was able to answer yes, I knew, I was just thankful to God that he gave me that confidence in him and that security in him. And I believe because of that security, we are really able to, weather. We had a lot of storms in our life, but we were, praise God for being stormproof. One of the things that really indicated that Nelly was to be my husband is when we were already engaged, okay? I really just found him so hot. And I just really want to share that. And you know, it was a long distance relationship. We didn't see each other for a month or two. And when he would come, I'm like, you know, at that time my love language was physical touch. So literally, I would try to so much to hug him, and I was really like this. And he was like this. I'm not kidding you guys. I was seriously, you know, I really wanted to. And it was all affection, but you know, he knew his boundaries. He knew that if we crossed the line, we would lose a lot of blessing. We would just, you know, lose the ministry. And, you know, there were days that, you know, I felt really rejected. Because really, I was like this. And he would be, you know, like in the cartoons. He was really like that. And so girls would ask me, what's the most romantic thing that Pastor Nelly did to me? You know what my answer is? He actually rejected me. That's the most romantic thing he did to me. When I say rejected, when I tried to advance in my, you know, my physical affections for him, he would say, no, we can't go inside your apartment all alone. Let's just, oh my gosh, Singapore was scorching hot. And my flatmates weren't home. I had no intentions of doing anything. Ha, you know, we said that before, right? But he knew that the devil was out to kill, steal, and destroy. So we would be outside our apartment at the gates, sweating. I'm like, let's just go inside. No, no, we can't go inside. We'll wait for your flatmate. What an honorable man. And you know, at that time, praise God, I couldn't see the importance of that. But you know, he gave me a sense of security at the time of courtship, at the time of engagement, because he was able to say no to me. I knew he was in love with me. I knew he was crazy about me. But he said no to me. Because it was not the proper time. And I knew it, because of that, it's a security on my part.
It was hard though, guys. I'm just just keeping it real. It was really hard.
Yeah, especially when I was popping and locking. No, I was kidding. But anyway, I can see now that when this guy travels, when he goes, and he travels a lot, you know, I mean, for ministry, and you know, even in the church it happened, Pastor Nelly, can you please pray for me? Picture, 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 hug, hug, you know. And you know, seriously, I mean, for those of you who have traveled with him to the Philippines, I know Tulo was shocked. Why are people asking him autographs in the Philippines, you know? And I can feel confident that he can say no to any woman. That was the security. I'm never not confident when he travels because I know he said no to me at that time. So I just want to honor and wow. You know, my husband for that. It's a security that So I just wanted to get that out of the way. And the whole thing about really submitting to Nelly, I mean, it was easy, like what Nelly mentioned, because of the grace that God gave for me to wait and to really suss out if this is the man I really want to submit to. There's another thing I just wanted to mention. Submitting does not mean enabling.
That's good.
I'll say it again. Enabling, in a negative sense, is allowing your husband to do deeds to you or to do deeds to other people that is not Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't do that. And Auntie Tina, how are we supposed to submit if he tells me to do things? Well, that's why I love this verse, is because it teaches us how to pray and pray hard. I love to see, out of prayer, out of devotions, men change their reckless ways. I love it. I've seen some marriages really, you know, in the time that we are pastoring, just the wife saying, how can my husband's not a Christian? But because of prayer, because of believing, because of fellowship, because of intentionally reaching out to the husband, the church reaches out. Now I see marriages where husbands are saved, rejoicing. I've seen it happen. So I just want to say to you, God, the God who moved that rock out when he resurrected can do the same thing. If your husband is not honorable, or you think, oh, how can I honor someone who's not honorable? God can change anybody. I just want to share that with you.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. I'll move on to verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Just to move this forward a little bit, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The way that we as husbands in the relationship and in our marriages should lead is with the word of God. So men, you need to know your word. You need to prophesy and speak the word over your family. You need to understand that you are the primary leader in terms of creating the atmosphere for godliness in your home. And so all the single men, how many single brothers we got here? All right, not married, I mean, doesn't mean, you know, okay, some of you aren't sure. I'm not talking about being prophetic. One day, Pastor Nelly, that's why my hand's like this. If you're single in here, my brothers, the best thing that you can do right now is get the word in you. Yes. So that you know how to lead yourself first. And then when God brings the right person alongside you, you'll know how to lead them. And then when God brings you children, you'll know how to lead them. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, if we can lead, if we can lead ourselves, when God brings the right person alongside us, we will be ready to lead them. And that's what it means to walk worthy in submission. See, the submission of the wife comes to us. And then we also, although it doesn't say the word submit, we do submit ourselves to the will of God. And we love our wives, what? As Christ loved the church. What did he do for the church? He laid his life down for the church. If that doesn't sound like submission of some sort, that, you know, I don't know what does. He literally sacrifices of his own volition. You know, he puts the PlayStation controller down so he can spend time with his kids. He takes responsibility. I'm not saying PlayStation's bad, but when you know it's the time to be responsible for leading and guiding the spiritual environment of your household, you need to take the lead. Now, I'm a firm believer that God is sovereign, but a lot of the reason why our homes are often in turmoil is because us as men don't spend enough time on our knees and in the Word. Because if we did, we'd be reliant on the God who is the head of the household, and we'd learn how to lead in accordance with His Word in our homes. And so that's why it's so important that we get the Word in us. Verse 27, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor. Like there's a beauty, there's a splendor in the home that is fully devoted, in the marriage that is fully devoted to God, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. There's somewhat of a responsibility. Yes, the wife is to have her own primary relationship with God, but also we should do what we can as men to lead them and to make sure that they're in the Word, they're growing in God. Make sure, you know, you're asking your wife, for those men who are in this place and are married, like, how can I help you grow in God as well? In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Some of us have nourished and cherished our body a lot. But as Christ does the church, because we are members of the body, therefore a man, check this out, okay, this is going to strike a nerve for some of the brothers in here. Verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. Hello, somebody. You're not married to your mama no more. You are married to your wife. Your wife is your primary priority now in terms of human relationships. You need to leave your mama's garage. Yeah, I said it. Leave and cleave. All the men in here say, leave and cleave. Yeah. You said it. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You see, and again, the word in Greek is the word parakletos, which describes the Holy Spirit for us as our helper. If you take that word into the Old Testament and you translate the Hebrew of Genesis into the Greek, the word that describes Eve to Adam is also helpmate, which is parakletos. What does that word literally mean in Greek? It literally means a helper or a partner that is with you where you can't see where one begins and the other one ends. Tina and I are one. We work as a unit together. We love one another as a unit together. And so our drive towards what God wants to do in and through our marriage and in and through our kids is based on the unity that we have in Christ. Does that make sense? And so it's in the same way that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are one. We model our marriage in the oneness of God to become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay, I'm going to zone in. We're going to end with this verse 33 here. I want you to focus in on this. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. All the brothers in here say, love. Come on, say it nice and low. Say, love. Okay, so for the married men in here, our responsibility with our wives is to love our wives. Now, all the sisters in here, and let the wife see that she respects. All the sisters in here say, respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay? Men, we love our wives. Now, I'm not saying that women here, all the sisters here, don't deserve our respect. They definitely deserve our respect. And the men over here don't deserve or don't need our love. Come on, LL Cool J. I need love. We do need love, but our primary way of receiving nurturing in marriage is the respect of our wives. A survey was done in Houston, in one of the universities in Houston. They interviewed 400 married men of different social statuses, ethnicities, cultural backgrounds, and they asked this question. There was a number of different questions, but what was interesting was this question was asked. Would you rather be alone and unloved, or would you rather be with everybody and have not receive any of the respect towards yourself? Does that make sense? Like, would you rather be alone and unloved, or with other people and not receiving any respect from anybody else in that context? 80% of men said they would rather be alone by themselves, unloved. They don't care about the love as much as some of my sisters may. And so that's a reality. I'm just going to get Tina to come and speak to this, and then we'll close this out. Let me just show you this, okay? This is what we call the crazy cycle. This comes from Dr. Emerson Egerich's book, Love and Respect, the crazy cycle. What ends up happening is when the sisters here do not receive love, they react. And then when the men, and then they react in a way that may be disrespectful. And then in their reaction, the men don't feel respected, and then therefore they react and they don't show love. In fact, they isolate themselves often. 9 times out of 10, men isolate themselves and don't show any love towards the sisters. And there's this, what Dr. Emerson Egerich calls the crazy cycle. This is actually the way we should be, like, in understanding how to love our wives. And let me just give the men here just some advice. There's a great book, the Five Love Languages. You all heard about the Five Love Languages. I can't emphasize enough knowing how to love your wife in a way that she will receive that love. Okay, if she doesn't like gifts, then don't buy her gifts. Most women, and how many sisters here like gifts? Oh, only three of us. Great. But like, find out the way that your wife likes to be loved. There's gifts, there's physical touch. Again, context of marriage, okay? Some of you are like, ooh, physical touch. Mm. No. If you're single, hold up, wait a minute. Quality time. Words of affirmation. What's the one I'm missing? Acts of service. All the single girls. Acts of service! Tina's invented the sixth love language, which is cash. So, you know, for all the men in here, it's not just saying, I love you. That's not going to do it. What do you mean? I told her I love her at the wedding. That's enough. No, once in a lifetime, then, you know, I'm your once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime, I say I love you, and then that's all good. You know, no. You got to find out the way to love your wife. Also, for the wives in here, you know, like, I can't emphasize enough the importance of allowing your husband to be elevated to a place where he can lead more proficiently in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit by praying for him, by every time, you know, he may make a decision that may not go the way that you would have wanted it to go. Don't speak to how knuckleheaded he is as a person, but speak to the decision. I mean, surely, you know, I'm not saying, yes, master, do whatever you want, but like, actually to discuss these things, not attaching like what you don't agree to his knuckleheadedness, okay, or putting that on his identity. See, I told you to do this. You're an idiot. You're a knucklehead. You know, saying all this stuff that just totally tears him down as a person. There's a different way to do it. The way you do it is like you address and you give your, and I'm saying you should definitely speak to things you don't agree to, but don't speak to the man that he is. Speak to the decision that he may have made or the action rather than attaching it to who he is and who is. See, you married him. You idiot, you knucklehead. Well, you married me. So you're Mrs. Idiot, Mrs. Knucklehead. Yeah? Attach this to your head because they're your knucklehead. Huh? Okay, Christina, come up.
Oh, boy. I can't emphasize really how important the five love languages are. By the way, couples, next year, the first quarter of next year, it's something to be excited for. We're going to have a marriage academy. Yeah, so we'll be having, so those of you who want to attend that, hurry up and get married this year. But anyway, but I just, come on, Helios. I'm just kidding. Remember that photo last week? We're praying for you. Roisin, why are you pointing to Helios? You were in that photo too. But yeah.
Idolatry.
Yeah. I really also appreciate the efforts of every single husband and wife here. We know that it's work. Marriage is work. Even learning about the five love languages is work. We need to work at it. We need to really just put effort in it. And even for Nelly, his love language is gifts. And I'm just so thankful that's his love language. Is because it's funny because I'm shopping with his money and I buy him a gift and he's so thankful for it, you know? So praise the Lord. Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, and he knows me so well. He knows, I mean, my husband, it's amazing. He does a lot of service at home. My love language is acts of service. And he picks up, he brings the kids to school. Sometimes he even strokes Nazareth hair, makes the ponytails. How many dads here makes the kids' hair? He knows how to do that. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And he does a lot. He does a lot, which I have seen throughout the years. It was a growth thing. Initially, it wasn't like that. And initially, we're both, Nelly and I actually have the same person. We're both very dominant. And you don't have to lose your personality in marriage. You don't. You just need to work around what would really actually respect this guy and how he would love me. We would work around it. I mean, everybody thinks that the guy is the one that is so objective, straightforward, just chop chop, and the woman is always emotional, you know. In this marriage, it's different, okay? I'm the one that's very task-oriented. Well, he's also task-oriented, but he is what they call the suki baba. Yeah. So he likes, and which is great, you know, and he likes it. He likes, I'm not uncovering you, it's great to be suki baba. Am I saying it the right way?
Unfortunately, you are saying it the right way.
Yeah, but you know, so he knows, it took a lot of adjustment. So he would tell me his heart, and I would quickly try to solve the problem. And then when I would tell him something, and he would go, oh, it's okay. I don't want that. Let's solve the problem now, you know? So it was opposite. We learned that about each other. And all the years has taught us really how to react to one another. And the thing is, the most important thing really is humility and asking God for a learner's heart. This is the primary relationship where you really need to learn. You need to change. And I just thank God that God allows that to happen. If we say it's not really a mystery, it's in the Bible. It's written, the data is all over this person. And it's a matter of really not doing things side to side, but doing things face to face. I'll say it again, side to side, face to face. Some of you are doing back to back. All right, that's not how marriage is supposed to be done.
Car to car.
And you can imagine, because Nelly and I, we see each other every single day. Mm. We work together. We're parenting our kids. And we're we're with each other all the time. Some of you guys may say, wow, that's just such a blessing. You know what? That's a lot of challenges that come along. Seeing each other every second, right? Well, not with you.
Mm. No.
Pop it and lock it. It really is. But because of that, you know, because of God's grace, he allowed us to do that. I remember, just to say, some of you who may have worked with us or sat in meetings, and a lot of you have, and I really apologize now for making you guys feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes Nelly and I would go headstrong in discussions. But you know what? We already know that Nelly's intention, or at least for me, I know his intention. When he wakes up every morning, he doesn't intend to make my day miserable. All right, the devil, for wives and husbands, the devil tries to sow seeds in your mind and say, when you wake up in the morning, you're, okay, how's my husband going to make my day hard for me today, you know? You need to understand that your husband or your wife does not intend to make your life miserable, okay? And the devil will try to do that. So when we have these big discussions, I'm thinking, this is a man, he's strong, this is the way he talks, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. And actually, we're really okay. But we need to apologize to you guys who have felt very uncomfortable. But it's years of just really learning about each other and adjusting to one another. Now, I just like to speak to the women lastly. Men, be thankful. You're probably going to tell me, take your time, sis. Talk to the women. All right? But we're talking about love and respect. There's a lot of ways we can respect our husbands. It could be really very much tailor-fit to your husband. But I know, based on Dr. Emerson Eggerich, based on his book, universally, these four actions could actually very much disrespect your husband. So the first, treating him like a baby, all right? It doesn't matter what your husband might think, oh, yes, I like being babied by my wife. Honey, your husband does not like being babied by you. It depends. If you cook him a steak dinner every night, that's great, okay?
Chill.
Yeah. But he's going out the door, oh, did you get your coat? Oh, did you forget? Oh, your socks are not matching, you know? That could really irritate your husband, okay? So stop treating him like a baby. He's a grown man. The more you treat him like the baby, the more he'll act like a baby, all right? Second, speaking on his behalf. I've done that. Still do that sometimes, all right? Guys, I think you know this. It can get very, very disrespectful to you when your wife cuts you in, or if any girl cuts you in, and when you're saying, "Oh no, he doesn't want any wine right now. Oh no, he doesn't want his chicken. He'll have vegetables tonight."
Why is all your examples food?
Because that's all I have in my memory right now. Oh yeah, no, he doesn't. Oh, he wants a Subway. He doesn't want his steak dinner tonight. That will really get his goat. Okay, so do not speak on his behalf. Third, cutting on his parenting. Ooh. When your husband is having a moment with their kids, of course, considering that it's not abusive or anything, let him do something. Let him parent. If it's again, what is respecting or what is honoring and what is enabling? Okay? We do not enable bad parenting. Okay? But if it's a good parenting moment, and even if you disagree with the way it was done, if it's a style issue, I'll say it again, if it's a style issue and not a values issue, it's different. If the way his parenting does not value God, maybe, just maybe, there's a way for you to change that moment. But if his style, it's just a style issue, the way he's parenting his kid without putting any detriment on honoring God or respecting God in that moment, leave him alone, okay? For you know, he may be better at it at that situation than you are, okay? So we need to understand that cutting on his parenting is very disrespectful. Next, undermining his decisions. I have really a very powerful experience that I had. And I just really want to share it with you, and I hope this blesses some of the wives as well as the single ladies. I grew up with a background of being in business. And before going to full-time ministry, I was into consultancy and business. And when I married Nelly, and I'll just be very transparent with you, at that time, I said, well, looks like I'm going to be handling the entrepreneurial side of things. And I was disrespecting him. Even if I didn't speak it, in my mind, I had thought, well, I probably know better when it comes to the entrepreneurial stuff and the consulting stuff. And we had this very big opportunity to do a business. And it was going very well until the people we were dealing with turned sour. They were going back on their word and et cetera. And here I was thinking, I knew everything about the business. And I was like, you know, Nelly would come and say, maybe we should, no. No, this is what we need to do. Okay, that's not correct. And in my back of my mind, like, what do you know? You never did business, you know? I was disrespecting him in my mind by thinking he had nothing to contribute to that situation. But what happened was God really broke me so bad during that time. I was actually pregnant with Jordan, and it was so bad, the situation. I would wake up in the middle of the night really breathing, like having some anxiety attack, because I said, it's practically the whole Philippines would know what went wrong, you know, because it was such a big thing. And I'm like, how could this happen? Our intentions were good. And then praise God, God just whispered in my ear, you need to start listening to your husband. And you know what this hero did, okay? He just waited. He just prayed. He didn't put up a fight with me and say, you should have done this. He just waited. He prayed, Lord, you know, God, show us the way. What are we supposed to do? And he had solutions to the problem that were so not in line with the worldly way of doing business. It would be like, why would you do that? That's unfair. You see, and he would pull out scripture like, you know, turn your other cheek. God will honor. God just. I'm like, we can't do that. That's so unfair, you know. But the Lord said, keep quiet. He's the head of your household. And the Lord gave me the grace to respect him and to really honor him. And at that time, I remember in the middle of it all, I was like, what should we do? What should we do? You know, tell me, what should we do? Which I never was before. I was never like that. I would always take it away from him and say, I'll decide. I'll decide what to do with our money. I'll decide what to do. It was really bad in the initial part of our marriage. But then when he started to make this decision, the whole situation turned around big time. And I won't have a chance to get into details, but we were able to make how many more times more? About three times more, right? More about what was we were supposed to make some money and give to charity. Everything was for charity. Now, instead of losing all that, the investments that we did and having a bad name, it was seven times more the money in the end of the whole story, because the Lord taught me how to submit to him. The Lord blessed the business venture. We ended up giving the amount seven times more than the original estimated amount to charity. So I just want to share with you wives, you know, it was... He may not know more anything about what the whole concept or the whole thing, but he was listening from God. He was listening from God. So, yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.